You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off of the beaten path or go off on a tangent. Come along with us for the ride. That is the meal for your mind here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. We've got a couple of headlines to get to in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. We'll get to that in just a bit. But before we do that, Mikey, my friend, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. This past weekend was very busy. Well, you were there.
We went
to the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, which I had never been to.
Yeah, this was your first time.
This is my first Renaissance Fair.
You were renaissanced.
I was fully renaissanced. The Renaissance was all over me.
Yes.
It was a great weekend.
It was in you.
It was in me. It was on me. It was around me.
Yes.
I was in it. I was enveloped in Renaissance. But weirdness aside, it was fantastic. It was a weekend filled with turkey legs and scotch eggs.
Yes.
I love that because it rhymes.
That sounds like an awesome album title.
PA Renaissance Fair, get in touch with me for like some marketing. But
turkey legs and scotch eggs.
Turkey legs and scotch eggs, yeah.
The new album from Mikey Costanzo.
That's right. It's a medieval themed album, of course.
His first campaign into Mount Hope, and he comes away with turkey legs and scotch eggs.
Turkey legs and scotch eggs. It was delicious. The food was great. The drinks were great. Honey mead for the first time. I've never had mead before. It was delicious. It's like the only thing I want to drink now. It was fantastic.
It's sweet alcohol.
It was sweet.
It's right up your alley.
Oh, it was perfect. I loved when you walk in there and you feel like, you're teleported. You know, not historically accurate, of course, because they're still using like credit card readers and stuff. But it's just fun. You know, all the buildings are themed and all the shops are themed and all the people are walking around in, you know, their period dress, or at least what I assume is, you know, medieval/Renaissance style costuming. And, you know, everybody's like, my lord, sire, this, that.
Nay.
Exactly. It was just fun.
You don't say no, you say nay.
Nay, right. I'm a lord. And it was, you know, we did archery,
yeah,
which was a lot of fun. We saw a couple of, you know, we saw the jousting. We sampled the food, of course. We went to some of the shops, which was a lot of fun. It was a great time. It was fun. A lot of walking, but
yeah, that's my drawback.
It was a lot of walking.
I need Sunday to recover.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't have Sunday to recover either because Jordan and I went to Hershey Park the next day. First time going to Hershey Park either. It's like right there. I've never been to either of these things.
Have you ever been out west?
I don't go out west.
Yeah, you don't
go
out west.
There's no reason for me to go in that direction. What is there's not. There's just cornfields.
Yeah.
There's just cornfields. And
you know, a couple of attractions, but yeah, it is mostly corn.
It's Hershey Park. And corn, the Renaissance
and corn
Fair.
And chocolate.
Corn and chocolate. I mean,
what a combination.
That's a great combination. No, I went to Hershey Park. I rode my first ever roller coaster with a loop where your feet dangle from the bottom.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Rich, you don't like rides.
No, I would not do
this. This also had a corkscrew in it where it like where it twists you like a barrel roll, but like a really...
There you go.
That is, I would have sounded like that. So I would have sounded like that, but I was too busy, like, on the verge of hyperventilating to actually scream. There was one part where we're about to go into the loop, right? And I'm sitting there, and, like, I felt like I was going to pass out from fear. I was so scared, but I did it. And once you get around that first loop, I start laughing. It's like, oh, my God, this is actually exhilarating. I like rides. I just don't do loops. So it was the first time I did loops in a roller coaster. And it was fun.
If you call that fun.
But I got off the ride and I was like literally shaking.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to like, my adrenaline was so high. I was like, I need to like have a slice of pizza and sit down. And that's exactly what I did.
So I only ever rode one roller coaster ever.
Really?
Only one, yeah.
Do you, what kind was it?
I think it was actually at Hershey too. I think it was somewhere up there.
Was it one of those old rickety wood ones?
I don't think so. I don't even remember.
Did it have a loop in it?
It probably did, because I remember the very first downslide.
Yeah.
That feeling when it feels like your stomach is falling.
Right. You don't like
I
that.
I hated that. That I was, nope, I tuned out, and like I think I might have passed out, because I don't remember.
You do not remember the roller coaster?
I don't remember the rest of the ride.
That's scary.
That was it. I was done. And the worst part is like, I know exactly what you're saying, but here's the you came out at the other end when you said you got that fainty feeling.
Yeah.
You came out and your adrenaline hit.
Right.
That didn't happen for me. I pretty much had to sit down. I was not feeling good. I was done. I was done for the day.
You just ruined your whole day.
And that's it. I know now I'm never riding a roller coaster ever again. Or at least anything where there's so much of a drop where that you get that feeling. Because I can't stand that feeling. That is the line in the sand. I can't go any further.
It's very uncomfortable. And for me, one of the most stressful parts is the buildup to that first drop.
Yeah.
Because like I'm a very naturally just like an anxious person, right? So that buildup, the anxiety and the tension of like that slow, steady climb, it's like a death march. These roller coasters do not do anybody.
Click, 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 climb.
And all you can do is like breathe, and you're like, I was breathing so hard that like the I felt my chest pressing against the chest restraint. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die here in this roller coaster.
You're going to die before you even get off the drop.
Right. But once I get into it, I'm fine. It's always the anxiety leading up to it. But yeah. I couldn't do another loop for the afternoon. Jordan, my girlfriend, was a little disappointed. She wanted to do more loops, but I was like, I can't. I'll do like literally any other.
At least you tried.
I did the loops, and I was like, look, like maybe, you know, I need to sit down. I did other roller coasters without loops. I'm fine. I did like three or four other roller coasters.
See, now I can't even do that.
Right, but I was like, I'm going to do another loop, I need more downtime between loops.
So here's what I'm trying to boost your ego here, because at least you can go on other roller coasters.
Right.
Then I can't.
You can't do any roller coasters.
I can't do anything where there is a big drop.
So you do spinny rides then, probably. Do you like to spin?
If it stays level, I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's like a teacup one that moves.
Right. Right.
Like, that's
or like the Music Express where it like goes really fast around and it goes backwards.
That sounds fine.
Yeah.
But I just can't do any drops.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling where it feels like your stomach's going to fall.
Right, and it like climbs up into your throat, and it's like that weightlessness. Yeah.
I'm out.
You're a 2 feet on solid ground type person.
Yes. Yeah. I do not want I want my feet on the ground.
That's
nowhere
right.
else. I don't do anything with sky or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. So, you're better than I am.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll see. I want to go back to Hershey Park. I want to do more of the rides. It was a lot of fun. Really, though, I'm there for the food.
Yeah.
I mean, the chocolate. We made our own candy bars.
Yeah, I like that part.
Yeah, so we made our candy bars. We bought a whole bunch of candy. I mean, obviously, you're in Hershey, you know, so you got to buy all the candy. It was a good time. It was a fantastic weekend. I am still exhausted.
So there's one story, if you want to go on this topic of roller coasters, there's one story my mom loves to tell where we all went to, I think it was Ocean City, New Jersey, and we went to like
Gilligan's Wonderland Pier on 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know your stuff.
You
man.
Don't vacation Ocean City every single year of your life. For like 30 years without memorizing.
Call Michael Costanzo if you want a vacation down Ocean City, New Jersey.
I've only not gone to Ocean City, New Jersey like maybe 4 or 5 years in the past 32 years. So,
well, anyway, there's that venue,
right,
and
right.
they have roller coasters and stuff. And my sister's kids, they were getting to the age where they're starting to explore roller coasters.
And they're like, Uncle Rich, come on.
And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. No,
you're
it's
like,
not
I'll
happening.
Go get funnel cake for the group, it's, but I'm not getting on that
it's
thing.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
And they're all making fun of me and stuff, and I don't care. I'm just like, go ahead. I'm out. And then, like, the youngest, Aslan, goes, I want to go on the monorail ride. I'm like, my girl. Yeah. All right. There we go. That's my kind of ride.
And you're like, you're right up there in the monorail. Choo choo. You're like,
nice, calm, progressive ride.
You're Homer Simpson around. Up there, conductor of the monorail.
Yeah. You just have a nice, steady pace. You see everything up above. No drops, no nothing. Just a nice, smooth sailing ride.
You know, it's funny because I was looking at the monorail in Hershey. I was like, oh, man, I'd like a nice monorail ride. And my girlfriend goes, you're one of those people, aren't you?
I'm like, fully one of those people. I can't do it. I think Rachel's disappointed in me because, like,
she likes the roller coasters and stuff.
I believe so, because this is something else, too. We've never gone to, like, a roller coaster park because I can't
do
roller coasters.
This is what we do. Me and Jordan, you and Rachel go to Hershey Park. They ride the loops. We eat the candy.
Oh, you mean we split off?
Yeah. We look, Rich. They don't got to be with us to eat the candy. What is this? What is this weird socialist world we're talking about? I want the candy for myself. Okay.
By the way, I love how we're discussing double date ideas to start off the show here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Anything that gets me more candy, I'll sign up for that. No, I'm kidding.
All right, so there you go. Now we know now everybody knows our double date plans.
Hershey Park. That's an expensive. Hershey Park is not cheap.
No, but it's worth it. I like the chocolate stuff.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
All
worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, so there you go. We spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about our double date plans.
How was your trip to the Renaissance Fair, Rich? I was there with you, but how was it?
It was good. You know, as long as I get the Scotch eggs, I'm happy.
And you got everybody's leftover Scotch eggs.
I did too. It was great.
They're huge.
They are.
I didn't realize they were that big.
Well, because you got ground sausage wrapped around the egg and then deep frying it. That will fill you up, man.
Oh yeah,
it is worth every dollar, as far as I'm concerned.
There was a picture of us somewhere of us just eating turkey legs as well, walking around the park.
Yes. Turkey legs as well. So I was happy. As long as I get food, I'm happy.
Our bellies were full.
I'm a simple man. Just let me have my food.
Just take him to the food and drink. He'll be fine.
Yeah. So there you go. That was our experience this weekend at the Renaissance Fair. But we have other experiences to talk about. And the first batch of experiences revolve around sports in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face. And boy, I think everyone is waiting to hear me say it. But yes, I was wrong.
Because you done goofed.
Yes, I did goofed. I was completely wrong about the Eagles. I really was not expecting much from this group. But they proved me wrong with a big win against the Falcons on Sunday.
They downright embarrassed the Falcons at home, 32-6. I was not expecting that either. I thought, I from what I recall, I think I waffled a little bit on this pick because I wasn't so sure. But I should have taken the Eagles. I was expecting them to come out, kind of flat as well. But one of my arguments did hold up in that this is a new offense with new players, a new regime. We don't know how these intangible factors are going to have an effect on the team and on our opponents going forward. And one of the big positives coming out of this game that I saw a lot of people online mention is Devontae Smith looking like a number one receiver, looking like an actual top 10 pick, knock on wood.
Yeah, because we don't have a good track record of this.
Right, knock on wood. But, I mean, he was targeted 8 times, caught 6 passes. I think I saw somewhere that quarterback rating of 120-something when targeting Devonta Smith throughout the game gave Jalen Hurts an easy outlet for these passes. I mean, not stellar numbers, 70-some yards, but a touchdown in his first outing. Jalen Reagor as well coming up and having a nice little showing as well. Jalen Hurts spreading around the ball. Good quarterback rating.
They gelled. They looked like a cohesive unit, right. Especially in the second half.
Right. It was a lot of... I saw online, a joke that Nick Sirianni's running Doug Peterson's offense better than Doug Peterson. Yeah. Because people say it's very reminiscent of 2016, 2017, and that's because Nick Sirianni is a Frank Reich disciple.
Yep.
Frank Reich, of course, was his head coach in Indianapolis before he came over here. So, you know, we might see a trend back to that simpler play calling, the RPO offense, you know, a little dink and dunk passes while still threatening downfield, still had a couple plays of over 20 yards. Just good, consistent football, you know?
Yep.
I'm hoping that holds up. Now, could this be a case of them beating up on a bad team, though?
Yes. Okay. I will say about 55 to 65% of this game is actually due to the Falcons. I watched this game, and wow, I hate to say this because we're all feeling good here in Philadelphia, and the Eagles are feeling good, and this is a big week one win, good for motivation and everything like that. But wow, Matt Ryan and the Falcons look utterly just lost.
Yeah.
And I really do mean this in terms of like a direction, a franchise directional term. They don't know what they're doing.
Now, is this because of the Falcons, or is this because of, I heard the Eagles defense was, I didn't get to watch it because I was at Hershey, but I heard the Eagles defense was very stout. They only allowed them to run one play in Eagles territory.
Yep.
In, I think it was the entire second half.
Yep.
So how much of it is our defense and how much of it is?
I'd say around 55 to 65% of this goes to the fact that the Falcons are actually this bad.
Wow.
Okay. There's even now calls after this game to fire the GM of the Falcons. Because
wow.
Think about it like this. Matt Ryan looked atrocious. He looked like
right.
He took a step down. I mean, you may want to say the Eagles front four pressured him and got, you know, they were able to sack him and put immense pressure on him and everything like that.
9 hits and 3 sacks.
But, you know, Matt Ryan a couple years ago was able to handle that. And was able to
Matty,
you know,
Ice.
Right, Matty Ice.
Always said was a BS nickname. Just saying.
Anyway, he was able to at least handle it.
Yes.
And put up a decent effort. But now it's clear that he can't. Number one, he's older. Number two, you took away Julio Jones.
I think that's the big thing.
And
when you have a top three receiver, it's easier to hang in there.
Right. So now the question is, And this, I've been hearing this now on some ESPN sports talk shows and Atlanta sports talk radio. Did the Falcons make a mistake in this draft? Should they have bitten the bullet and gone after a quarterback? Because they were the number four pick overall.
They were. They had options. They could have taken any position they wanted to.
They could have picked up a Justin Fields. They could have picked up the New England guy, the new one from New England.
Mac Jones. Yep.
There were quarterbacks on the board.
Oh yeah.
If they had an inkling that Matt Ryan wasn't able to hold up to the pressure anymore, they had an out.
Yeah.
And instead they attempted to be the showstopper and take Kyle Pitts, which, by the way, Kyle Pitts was not really used in this game.
No, non-existent. I mean,
so this is what I'm saying is this really seems like a franchise dysfunctional problem, because now you're talking about you're not even using the fourth overall pick correctly
right.
in your first game with him. You've got your franchise quarterback constantly on the ground and looking lost and disheveled for the majority of this game. You've got no running. You got no running attack. You lost your star wide receiver.
Who they didn't really replace.
The defense has been a joke. I mean, unless we forget, last year they three times in a row they blew a 20-point lead.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say this, not, you know, because I do want to be optimistic about the Eagles and everything, but I would say 55 to 65% of this game was how bad the Falcons are. And if I'm an Atlanta fan, I am angry. This is going to be a horrible season for the Falcons.
It's looking like a tough division this year. So
they might as well just rip the Band-Aid off and start rebuilding, because it's a joke. There's no way this team is competing
for the playoffs. How old is Matt Ryan? He's 36 years old.
36.
NFL players, look, I know everybody wants to be. Everybody wants to have the next Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. That's four guys in the past 2 decades that I've been watching football that made it past 36 and have performed at that level.
I think it's a valid argument. I think the Falcons might have made a huge franchise mistake.
Quite possibly.
You had the number four overall pick.
You could have taken anybody at any position.
If you didn't have this love affair with Matt Ryan, I don't know. I think maybe the blinders would have came off.
It's tough when you got a franchise quarterback like that. He brought them, you know, to their closest ever that they've had to win a Super Bowl in the past, you know, since he's been with the team.
Yeah.
So they feel like there's a certain amount of, needing to see it through. But you're right. At a certain point, you got to look at the age. You got to look at the cost. You got to look at how you're building your team. You know, you have this young tight end now, Kyle Pitts. Great. Fantastic. But
invisible. They did not use him correctly.
If you can't get the ball to him, if your quarterback is aging, they'd be better off in trying to find a younger quarterback to pair with Kyle Pitts instead of trying to ride Matt Ryan into the ground with him.
Literally into the ground.
Into the ground.
He's literally going into the ground.
And like I said, 9 hits, 3 sacks. The Eagles were on top of him. I think that your percentages are pretty accurate. I would say 50-50. I was reading an interesting statistical article about, you know, when teams beat up on bad teams, that it's actually more indicative of a good team than close wins. That close wins don't really, because close wins, it's like a ball bounces the wrong way.
We saw that from the Monday night game.
Right, you saw that in a Monday night game. But blowout wins are more indicative of a team that is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, whether this blowout win will translate to more wins, that's another thing. The article was saying that blowout wins are better than close wins, even against a bad team. But that doesn't necessarily mean that a team that blows out another team is going to go on to win 10, 11 games. I still think the Eagles are like a 7-8 win team.
I feel like whoever wrote that article is a sports gambler, and they're trying to justify their over and under bets.
I'll have to send you the article. It's actually very interesting. But I think the Eagles are still, like I said earlier, I would take the over on that 6.5, and I stand by it. I think just barely 7 or 8. I'm not saying they're going 9, 10, 11.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they're this functional and this united this early in the season, all right, I could see it now.
Because here's the thing with Jalen Hurts that I don't think people are really accounting for. Scrambling quarterbacks do really well early in their career because teams haven't figured them out yet. Donovan McNabb, Mike Vick, Lamar Jackson, who still continues to baffle opponents. So until they get more tape on him, they're going to be able to steal a couple of wins against teams they might not, or you might not think they will, because people don't know yet what he's capable of. You know, he's going to keep defenses guessing.
I'll tell you what, Jalen Hurts seemed very cool in this game. He never seemed to panic or let the stage get to him,
right,
or the rush get to him. He always was able to stay upright, keep the ball secured, make plays when he could. Like he definitely seemed like he has the ability to not let the stage get to him.
So unfortunately, I didn't get to see it, but comparing him to Wentz.
Compared to last year's Wentz, it looks better.
He looks comfortable. He's commanding.
I mean, this is only one game, a weaker opponent, but he looks calm.
Did he pass the eye test?
Right now, yes, but we'll see as the season goes on. It's going to be a long season.
I mean, 3 touchdown passes.
Yep. Well, speaking of predictions, I guess that's a good transition into our Fantastic Four picks for week 2 of the NFL season. Let's get the music going. All right, week 2 of the NFL season. What 4 games should we keep an eye out for?
All right, first up, we have a couple of AFC bubble teams. We have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a Sunday 1 o'clock game. The Raiders pulled out an improbable win against the Ravens.
It was crazy.
The Steelers, We keep on singing about the Steelers' demise, but they keep hanging in there, Rich. Who do you think comes out on top here?
Yeah, the Steelers were another team that I was down on, but they proved me wrong. TJ Watt seems to be the most dominant defensive player in the AFC. I mean, he was causing all kinds of havoc for the Bills last week, and they're a top 10 offense. So the Steelers might be legit. I still worry about Big Ben's health. I'm not sure if that's still something you want to place your chips on. But right now, they're rocking and rolling, and they're looking pretty good, especially in a division now where the Ravens lost all their running backs, just lost to the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Browns blew a game against the Chiefs that they could have had. And the Bengals, they may have won their first game, but they're still really new. I mean, actually, if I'm a Steelers fan, I got to be pretty excited after the way Week 1 went.
That division's up for grabs right now, if you ask me.
Yep. Steelers going to be at home in this one. I think I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. I think the Raiders aren't going to get as lucky with some of the breaks they had on Monday in this one.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's what it comes down to. You look at these two teams' previous matchups, and they both beat very good, you know, top-seeded AFC teams. But like I was just saying, those close wins don't hold as much weight, according to that statistical analysis that I read. And the Las Vegas Raiders, I mean, is the very definition of a close win. I mean, goes to overtime, depends on several crazy turn of events.
That Lamar game, Jackson fumbling it twice.
Could have gone either way. The Steelers, also a close game against the Buffalo Bills, but I think the Buffalo Bills are arguably better than the Ravens, and Pittsburgh winning in regulation. So I think I have to give early on.
They came back from behind, too. They were down 10-0 in that.
Even better. I think early on in this season, I think you got to give the slight edge to Pittsburgh right now just because of the strength of their previous win and being at home. But we'll see. Don't count the Raiders out just yet. They hung in there with the Ravens. That's tough.
Yep.
So keep an eye on them.
Yep.
But next up, we have two clear AFC contenders from last year squaring off early this season. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens. Rich, this is a Sunday primetime game. Can the Ravens bounce back from that devastating overtime loss we just talked about? Or does Kansas City wipe the floor with them, and why? Because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. I'm calling it right now. The Kansas City Chiefs are just a better team on paper. And right now, reeling after that loss against the Raiders, the Ravens are going to try and strike back fast, but it's going to be tough. Being, you said they're down a running back.
They're down three running
backs.
How
can they compete against the Chiefs and that aerial assault that they have? They don't have a ground game to balance out and try and control the clock.
Well, the Ravens still have a pretty good defense. I think it's going to be one of those games you're going to know how it will go in the first half, because we saw that as the game gets longer and you get into the third and fourth quarter, defenses get tired and they let out more points, and that's what happened to the Ravens. They had a pretty good game going into the fourth quarter, and then I think they just got tired because of the two fumbles from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Any defense kind of gets, you know, worn out, and Raiders put up 17 points, force overtime, and win in overtime.
And the Chiefs are better than the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs in this one, but it's an 0-2 for the Ravens that I think is undeserved.
That won't last long, though.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens will bounce back, but right now, early in the season, they're going to get their struggles now out of the way.
This could be good.
That always happens with the Ravens. They always turn it on later. They'll be okay.
Well, that's the time you want to turn it on.
Exactly.
Right, for the postseason.
Talking about turning it on, though, the NFC North has to turn it on, because right now, they're the only winless division.
Everybody sucks.
But one of those teams will have a win unless these two teams tie. The Detroit Lions travel to Green Bay to face off against the Packers. It's a Monday night game. Does Aaron Rodgers actually decide to play this week?
Yeah. I mean, there's memes going around that he quit. I don't know, man. That whole Packers...
What was it, 3 points?
That whole Packers offense fell flat and just didn't try. They just seemed like they weren't present in that game in Jacksonville.
Well, I understand the defense giving up, but how does Rodgers only score 3 points? That is insane.
Yeah. So I think if there's any sense of pride or any sense of motivation to earn your paycheck, the Packers should take this. I mean, their roster is significantly better than the Lions roster. But, I mean, whew, there's going to be heads rolling if the Packers lose this game at home to Detroit. That would be a massive, massive story.
Yeah.
So just for the sake of embarrassment, I'm going with Green Bay.
Yeah, at home, just their roster on paper is so much better. You have to go Green Bay. The Detroit Lions are just not good. I know Green Bay looked really bad, but Aaron Rodgers is a competitor. I think at some point he has to turn it on. So maybe it'll be against a division rival at home. I'm going Green Bay, but boy, I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers really wants to be done with Green Bay, this could be the way he sends a message.
Yeah, he just falls over.
But yeah, right, he just lays down. But one team that won't be laying down is the Philadelphia Eagles, surprisingly. We have to reassess this matchup. The San Francisco 49ers are traveling to Philadelphia for a 1 o'clock game. Rich, I don't know. All of a sudden, big question mark. I'm going to go out on a limb. I say, maybe this is recency bias, I think the Eagles may be bolstered by their blowout win, steal another one against San Fran early here. People still trying to figure him out. DeVonta Smith, the new hotness. San Francisco dealing with a couple of injuries. What do you think?
You know what? This is
big home win. Let's go.
This is one that the Eagles could pull off. Not only are they flying high right now, but the 49ers lost Raheem Mostert, their running back.
Yeah.
So they're down a running back as well. Also, they got to fly from the West Coast all the way over to the East Coast for a 1 o'clock. It's a one o'clock game.
Going to be tough.
I know these are professionals, but that still plays some sort of effect. We've seen it in terms of stats. West Coast teams are significantly more likely to lose in these 1 o'clock games where they have to visit to the East Coast. It's a chance. It's a good shot. The Eagles could go 2-0 here.
Wow. Would that be something?
It would be, especially with my prediction that they weren't going to cross 6.5 wins.
Right now, they're the only winning team in the NFC East. I mean, this is truly a topsy-turvy type year.
Yeah.
I think they could do it. I really do think they could do it.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about their loss next week.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess for my final verdict.
Do it, Rich. Do it.
Yeah. Go with Eagles.
There you go.
Homer
home
pick. Crown win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hometown win.
I love it.
I think it would be great.
Let's do it.
But I think that's going to be the end of the victory march, because
their schedule does get tough.
Yeah, the schedule is going to get tougher from here on out. But there you go. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 2 of the NFL season. There you go. Oh, man, it's good to talk football again.
It really is.
It is. It has been a long time coming. I am so happy. I'm doing all my sports betting again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a wonderful time.
It
same,
is.
Same
it
game
is.
Parlays. Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah, I know we talked about
this.
We
lost all our bets last week, Rich.
Yeah, but we talked about this before the show. It is on Monday night, I did an alternate total bet on the Ravens-Raiders game. And the way that it broke down, going into overtime, if anybody scored, they would break the under that I had going.
Right.
So I was like, oh man, I'm going to lose this under. But then I realized, oh, wait a minute. There's a thing called a tie.
Sick bastard.
So
how dare you?
In that brief moment, in that brief overtime moment, I was rooting for a tie. Come on, give me a tie.
You say that I'm a secret Brady fan. You're a secret tie fan. You would have every team go 0-0-17 if you had your druthers.
Look, if it makes me win my sports book, I'm rooting for it, man. Come on. Help me out.
Crazy, Rich.
I need to make money. I got a house.
I need to make money.
I have a house now.
I put it all on the Eagles.
Yeah. So help me out here. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're done with sports. But coming up next, we've got entertainment. And then the odd news. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We still got plenty of show still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Done the sports sampler. Moving right along in this meal for your mind. Hope you like that appetizer.
Yum.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, for Philadelphia, that's a very, very tasty appetizer. All good news.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a Eagles fan, we'll take Eagles fan base over here. We'll take that, you know. Hopefully that continues into week two and beyond.
All the way, baby.
All the way.
Super Bowl 17-0.
What was it that your dad said? He wants to see Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco in the Super Bowl.
He wants to see Joe Flacco in the Super Bowl.
What is this, like 2012 again? Or when did they make it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, 2012.
Something like that. Like, no.
Yeah, the Harbaugh Bowl the head coaching brothers were fighting off against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird year. What a weird flash in the pan Super Bowl, because both those quarterbacks, the Ravens are still okay, but Joe Flacco was like never good again.
He was elite.
No, he
wasn't. Was Super Bowl MVP. He was elite.
He was barely capable.
He was elite.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move away from the sports realm. We've got a lot of entertainment news to get to in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
All right. Before we get into some of our regular bits and some news that we want to talk about, there's something I want to talk about right off the bat, and it's news that broke today. Very sad to hear that one of my favorite comedians, Norm Macdonald, died today at the age of 61, fought a long battle with cancer, didn't want the public to know about it. So where to the public, this kind of comes as a sudden shock, I guess, to his family and friends. This was, they knew that maybe this was coming up along the pike, but definitely hits home, you know, that this happened sooner rather than later. He was fantastic on Saturday Night Live. I loved his bits as Burt Reynolds on Jeopardy. He was the Weekend Update anchor for a while there, and I loved his style of news comedy. I think it might have offended some people. I think Lorne Michaels, I heard, wasn't a big fan of him.
Interesting.
Because he was more kind of deadpan humor and
right.
I can see where some people may not enjoy his comedy, but I think it was just very, you know, an old style kind of looking at the way the world is, and he was able to take that, and I think made Weekend Update his own thing, during the mid-90s in which he hosted that segment. And he was also a guy that, you know, not a tough guy, but he didn't take any crap because, you know, when they wanted him to change his gimmick on Weekend Update, you know, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And they ended up, you know, going their separate ways. So I think there's something to be said that, you know, he had his own voice in the comedic world and he stuck to it and he didn't want to change it for anybody, whether it was for a show or whether it was somebody that maybe thought he was offensive or anything like that. I think he knew what he wanted to do as a stand-up comedian, and he did it to the best of his abilities, and I think there's something to be said about that. He was also a good actor. He was in Billy Madison, Dirty Jobs, a couple of other ones as well, so he's a good actor as well. And I got to meet him when I was an intern at President Steve.
Yeah,
he was very cool. I mean, he was hanging out with everyone after his interview, and you know, we all got to chat with him a little bit and take a photo with him, and he was just a very cool guy. He was very down to earth. He talked about golf. He was a very
That immediately makes him one of your favorites right there.
Oh yeah, I think that weekend was like a major or something. So we were just chatting after the show about who we were thinking like was going to win the Open. I think it was the Open that weekend or something.
It's always great to hear, you know, stories about a celebrity being down to earth and like still being able to like relate to us common folk. Yeah. You know, and
yeah,
just being a chill dude. Yeah,
right. He was just cool dude. And it's definitely a significant passing in the comedic world. For those that aren't familiar with his brand of comedy, I figured I would pull a quick 2-minute clip here. Any bit where Norm Macdonald was with Conan, just it's a laugh riot. Whether it's he was on Late Night, if I remember correctly. Late Night, Tonight Show, or the Conan Show on TBS. Whatever show you find those two on, if you find a clip of it on YouTube, watch it, because chances are it's a laugh riot. This might be one of my favorite clips. This is Norm Macdonald came on on Conan Show on TBS to promote a fake memoir, and it's great. So if you allow me, I will play the clip in honor of Norm's passing. So here is the clip.
Well, I guess the biggest thing that nobody knows about me is I'm a deeply closeted gay man.
What? I mean, you're a gay man?
I'm not gay. I said I'm deeply closeted. I'm as straight as an arrow.
So you're a gay man who won't admit it?
No. Do you know what deeply closeted means?
Yeah.
It means a man who will not acknowledge that he's gay.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, I'm not gay. I got a wife.
You got a wife.
I just got married because I thought to go through that charade to keep appearances up.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of thing you'd tell if this were a memoir.
If this were a memoir, I would tell about my wife. What a battle axe.
Battle axe?
No one's
called their wife a battle axe since 1945.
Leslie, come. How do you feel about a woman? She's supposed to be my life partner. I look in the mirror the other day and I says to her, honey, I look in the mirror and all I see is a fat, ugly old man. And I need you to give me a compliment. She says, all right, then. Your eyesight is damn near perfect. I said, you dirty dog.
Wait, you called her a dirty dog?
A dirty dog.
A dirty dog.
We have fights constantly.
Oh, you do?
Oh, and sometimes it bleeds over. Like, we were driving a car. We went past a bunch of animals. There was a pig, a cow. And I admit this is a little cruel.
You were kind of mad at her at the time.
I was mad at her. So I said, hey, you see that pig, that cow, you know, horse? That remind you of any of your relatives? She says, yeah, my in-laws. I said, you dirty dog.
Oh, wow. Wow. Dirty dog again. Wow.
I tell you, until I met my wife, I always felt incomplete. Now I'm finished. But I will say this.
What is going on?
I will say this.
What is this going on?
I will say this.
This is a 1935 radio show.
I know.
Benny Youngman, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
What's that you say there, Norm?
Let me see.
Norm, what's that you say? Tell us more, Norm.
So there you go. That's one of my favorite bits from the two of them. He had his own just brand of humor, and I loved it. So, unfortunately, a sad passing in the comedy world. Norm Macdonald passes away at the age of 61. But nevertheless, if you want to have a good laugh and that comedy suits your style, definitely just do a YouTube search on anything with Norm Macdonald or anything with Norm and Conan, and you'll laugh your ass off. So that is what we have to remember him by. All right, so now we are done with looking into the past. Now let's look into the future. Let's look forward to what's coming up this weekend with Mike's segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do we have on the docket?
All right, This Week in Entertainment, pretty simple. We got a big video game launch. Deathloop comes to PlayStation 5 and PC. It's a PlayStation 5 and PC exclusive. Rich, this is one that you were looking at previously, you know, for its unique ability and gun gameplay. You said it reminded you a little bit of, like, Bioshock or Dishonored, where you're wielding both abilities and guns at the same time, but what I'm really intrigued about with this game is the main story and the thrust of it. The main gimmick is that this first-person shooter follows a character stuck in a time loop on a mysterious island, and he has to figure out a way to kill 8 targets in one day in order to break the loop. And so the gameplay combines shooting, investigative work, puzzle solving in order to piece together the best way to move about the island in one day in order to kill all 8 targets in one run. Of course, you're going to fail a lot, but every time you fail and the loop resets, you get to keep some of your powers, some of the information, some of the story details. So slowly but surely, you build together the puzzle of the world, the character that has amnesia, and this sort of whole world puzzle of how to get these 8 targets together in one place to kill them all in one go. People are raving about it. Has an 88 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Wow,
hyping it
big.
As one of the best games of the year. So if there's a reason that people have been holding out to try and find a PlayStation 5, maybe this game will convince them to pick one up. Still incredibly difficult, but if you have one, go check out Deathloop on PlayStation 5 and PC, and that's out right now. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mikey, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, well,
it's not the only video game news, though.
No,
Rich,
it's not, because Sony had their own form of E3, the Sony PlayStation Showcase.
Yeah.
So if you're a Sony fan, what do we have to look forward to, Mike?
Man, if you're a Sony fan, this was a fantastic showing. It was about 40-some minutes long, and every single minute of it was something that I am now looking forward to on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. They kick things off. You know, I'll keep it simple here, get some of the simple ones out of the way. A lot of remakes and remasters, but really fun remakes and remasters. First, Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy are being remastered for PlayStation 5 and PC. Again, emphasizing Sony's push to release some of their games on PC. I really think that that's a great idea by Sony. I love to see them do that. I would love to see more developers and publishers, you know, make their games available for larger audiences. I'm saying that because I want Xbox games on Switch and PlayStation because I'm greedy. but it's a good idea. And now a lot of other gamers will be able to see what makes the PlayStation ecosystem so much fun by playing, I think, one of the best out there in Uncharted 4. You know, you can't go wrong with that one. Another big one, and Rich, this will be up your alley, Alan Wake from Remedy Entertainment. They are the developers of Control.
Yep.
They're fully remastering Alan Wake for the PlayStation 5. First time this game is appearing on PlayStation consoles. Between this announcement and the Control DLC that hinted at Alan Wake, it's all pointing to Remedy, and they've confirmed that they're making a larger shared universe for its games. So really what I'm thinking about is, okay, this is a remaster, so obviously they're not putting all of their efforts into this. What's the next game going to be? Is it a sequel to Control, a sequel to Alan Wake, another brand new game that ties it all together? I am so excited for the future of this developer and its properties. And I'm really excited to try Alan Wake, which is supposed to be more horror-oriented compared to Control. But really excited to try this
one. The Remedy universe. Yeah.
The Remedy universe. I think it's a cool new thing. We haven't seen that a lot in video games, like a shared universe. So I'm really excited to see where they go with that. But, Rich, this one for you especially, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, coming to PlayStation 5, a full remake.
Yeah.
First time on PlayStation consoles. You know, this is this an old BioWare one, or am I mixing this up?
Yeah, this was, it was an Xbox exclusive.
Xbox exclusive. So BioWare when they were good, and now fully remade for the first time on a PlayStation console. I cannot wait to play this.
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, it's one of the best Star Wars games
ever. Well, this is one of those ones that you said you would like to see into a movie where it takes place thousands of years before episode
one. Finally, this is like the only property that apparently deals with this time period.
Yeah.
I am picking this up day one.
Yep, there you go.
I'm so excited. I mean,
I knew you would like it.
You said that, and immediately I was like, yes, this is what I want. I want to learn more about the deep history and lore of the Star Wars universe. I don't care about the Skywalker saga. Get that trash out of here. I want to know what happened before it all became too mainstream.
Yeah, so there you go. This is your chance.
I'm excited to see what that's all about. We also got some new looks at previously revealed games as well. This one is quickly gaining a lot of attention. Forspoken is an action RPG in which a modern-day New Yorker is teleported to a fantasy world and gains magical abilities, and she's got to go fight some, you know, evil, tyrant king or something. But what makes this unique is it's written by the screenwriter of Rogue One, Gary Whitta, and Amy Hennig, who wrote Uncharted 1 through 3. So, fantastic writing team on this game. I'm really intrigued. I mean, you love Rogue One.
Yep.
We both love the Uncharted series. These two together, that's kind of exciting for this game. I would love to see where it's going and what it has in store for gamers. So, really intrigued to learn more about that. But I think the big one that we both got to talk about here is we got a longer look at God of War Ragnarok. Story trailer. Spoilers if you haven't played the first one. It's like 4 years old, so it's your own fault. shows an older Atreus.
Yep.
Shows off the Norse god of the Norse version of the God of War, Tyr. Reveals, finally, Thor in the flesh, this big, burly man-child of Thor. Love the new look.
Yeah, and I got to point out, the voice actor for the heavyset Thor is Ryan Hurst, who was Opie in Sons of Anarchy and was the quarterback in Remember the Titans.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
I thought you would like that connection.
That is an odd connection, but it only makes me love this game that much more. But a lot more revealed as well in talks and interviews with the developers after the showcase. You can finally explore all 9 realms in God of War Ragnarok. Previously, you can only explore, you know, I think it was like 6 or 7 of the 9 realms previously. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to get to go to Asgard. You're going to get to go to the land of the giants, the land of the dwarves, all that stuff. They revealed that you meet one of the last of the giants in God of War Ragnarok. And it's making me think they're revealing so much. It makes me wonder, what yet do they have in store? Because they're the type of developer that's going to keep a lot secret. You know, remember the first game, how the main reveal of who Atreus was kept so hidden, so perfectly secretive, that at the end it was like such a big like aha moment.
Yeah.
You know, and the twist at the end of who he is. And also the twist that all of the yellow markings everywhere was actually, you know, already, premonitioned by Kratos's late wife. I mean, they did such an amazing job of weaving world and story together.
Yes, but they still left a lot to be answered.
They did. They did.
Because I want to know the connection between Kratos in this world and the previous world.
Right. And I
think they have not addressed that at all.
And one of the theories is going to be Tyr. I think that he is the key, because in the first game they showed a drawing of him visiting all these different worlds, all these different lands. And remember, if you recall, it shows the God of War symbol, the Omega sign.
Yeah.
Right. And so Tyr is somehow going to tie all this together. I'm excited because I think if they are showing this much, there is more. Twice as much that yet needs to be revealed.
Yep.
Do we go back, you know, revisit part of Kratos' past? This has also been confirmed to be the conclusion of the Norse saga. So only two games. So what happens next? Are there more God of War games? Do they go to another mythology? Do they go back to Greece? Do they, you know, transition from Kratos to Atreus? There's so many questions left to learn, and I cannot wait to experience this game and learn all the answers to these questions. Everything points to it being bigger and better than the 2018 God of War, which was, I think, still one of the best games on PlayStation 4.
Yep.
So.
Yep, it's a lot to look forward to in that.
Absolutely. But the two big new games that I gotta talk about, Rich, as a Marvel fan, the first, complete surprise, out of nowhere. You see Insomniac come up on screen. You see Marvel come up on screen. You go, oh, it's going to be a Spider-Man game. No, it's Wolverine.
Yep, you saw the claws come out of the hands.
Claws come out. Marvel entrusting Insomniac with another one of its characters. Insomniac is now kind of a quote-unquote Marvel developer now that they've got Spider-Man and Wolverine.
Two for two. Why not?
Two big heroes as well. You know, they're not making a Doctor Strange game. I mean, Spider-Man and Wolverine are two of their most iconic characters. It's confirmed that it will be a single-player superhero game. It will be a full-length game. It's not going to be, you know, like a shorter side project. And it's going to have a mature, dark tone.
Ooh, possibly I like the sound of that.
An M rating.
Oh,
It's Wolverine.
Crank it up.
It's Wolverine. His main weapon is, like, literally, you know, knives coming out of his hands.
Crank it up.
So really excited to see that. I mean, I've been playing Insomniac games for a long time between Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man. They know how to handle traversal. They know how to handle combat. And clearly this is a huge sign of trust from both Marvel and Sony. They're like, here, have another hero, have a go at it. If they knock it out of the park with Wolverine, in addition to Spider-Man, could you see them getting even more Marvel characters? I mean, also not to mention the fact that they are churning out games left and right. Because they just released Miles Morales last fall, Ratchet and Clank this spring, and now they announced Wolverine and also Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
That's right.
2023.
I don't know how they juggle all these projects, and they are all great great releases.
They sound like Rockstar Games before they found out about online DLC.
As long as Insomniac never discovers microtransactions, we're good.
Yeah.
We'll always have...
Don't ever show them microtransactions.
Quality single-player games. Just don't let them know that microtransactions are a thing. But Spider-Man 2, I mean, we all knew it was coming. But finally, getting a few confirmations here. Peter Parker and Miles Morales tag-teaming combat. Kind of like we saw in, remember, the Batman Arkham games. Where you can have multiple characters tag team for takedowns. They did confirm it's not multiplayer, so don't think that one, you know, person's going to control Peter Parker, the other person's going to control Miles Morales. Not happening. Still single player. The voice in the trailer, people are thinking, is Kraven the Hunter, which could lead to some interesting storylines. We've never seen Kraven the Hunter, you know, in this modern era of Spider-Man. But the big reveal, of course, is Venom.
Yeah, at the end, yep.
In Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man's my favorite hero. Venom is my favorite villain from the Spider-Man universe. I'm still waiting for Venom to be done right. You know, in Spider-Man 3, Venom was done dirty. In the Venom movie, he's a joke. In the MCU, he's non-existent. I think finally Insomniac can give me what I'm looking for in Venom. I mean, the reveal where he says, you know, he uses we, you know, as the symbiote and him together operating as one. The look of the character coming out of the shadows, everything right now is working. Yes, it's only 2 or 3 seconds of screen time, but already I'm getting really good vibes from this. Like, it can be one of the better depictions of Venom. And it's really... you know, opens up so many possibilities because we haven't seen the symbiote at all in this iteration of Spider-Man. It was hinted at in the first game, But, you know, we still have a long way to go before we get to Venom. Spider-Man has to get the symbiote. It has to leave him and go to Eddie Brock, and or in the Spider-Man video games, it seems like they're gearing up for it to be Harry Osborn gets the symbiote. But we'll see, because this can be a completely new take on the character. You know,
they don't have to follow.
Will Venom be a villain? Will he be an anti-hero? Will he be a vigilante? You know, what exactly?
It's their own universe, yeah.
Exactly. It doesn't follow the MCU. It doesn't follow the comics. It is specifically Insomniac's and Sony's, you know, video game Spider-Man. He's not part of any other universe. So I'm really eager to see their unique take on it, because we saw a different take on Doc Ock in the first game.
Yep.
You know, so I'm excited to see a new take on Venom. And also, potentially, now that they have these two Marvel heroes, is there any connection between Wolverine and Spider-Man? You know, do they operate in the same universe? There's already hints. We saw Avengers Tower in Spider-Man. We saw the Doctor Strange, I can't remember what it's called, Sanctum Sanctorum.
Right.
We saw the Wakandan Embassy. It's clear that Insomniac and Marvel is okay with making these references and making it seem like Spider-Man's part of a larger universe. Could this be a step towards, like Remedy is doing, a shared universe? Will Insomniac have a Spider-Man game, a Wolverine game, maybe, you know, a Black Panther or a Doctor Strange game, and slowly bring them all together? I think that would be so cool, and I think Insomniac is the developer to do it.
Well, as long as they keep hitting home runs with Wolverine and Spider-Man 2, why not?
So far, so good. They haven't put out a bad game in several years.
Just don't lay a dud, because then you will end up like the Universal Dark movie universe.
You don't want that.
Right. Failed from the get-go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of fail from the get-go, that's always kind of the theme with our final segment, a story that you need to hear from the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great!
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up!
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part.
In fact,
never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news!
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story, keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reaction is my genuine gut reaction to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because he's already laughing, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started, Rich. What's got you chuckling over there? What's going to happen?
All right. So this is a great story. It's short and sweet, but again, this is one of those, the visualization of this is hilarious. So get your imagination caps on. Of course, this is a Florida odd news story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
That's right. All right, so this first part is a little bit serious and something that we don't want to confront in everyday life, but sometimes this does happen. Officers were involved in an armed standoff this story. There was a teenager that threatened to use violence with a gun on the top of a house.
Not good.
Yeah, not good. Not a good situation to start off here, so... he's armed on the top of this roof on the house, and he's threatening to either use it on himself or use it on cops or other people. So we've got a standoff here, very dramatic situation here, very tight. This could go either way. You know, everybody's right. on pins and needles.
Right.
A very high stakes, dramatic moment here in Florida.
Okay. I'm assuming something's about to happen to make it less dramatic.
That's right, because knowing Florida, you know something had to come out of left field.
Of course.
And that was the case of 28-year-old Jessica Smith, who was naked and decided to drive a golf cart right through the standoff.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
She is Mrs. Leroy Jenkins. She is naked on a golf cart and just yeeting it right through the damn barricade.
There's just cop cars everywhere. People have got guns and megaphones, and people are shouting at each other. It's tensions are real high. She's like,
here I go.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Oh my God, he just ran in.
She literally just Leroy Jenkins this.
Oh, my God.
So, literally, the officers are directly confronting the teenager in this armed standoff when cops say 28-year-old Jessica Smith drove through several patrol cars while behind the wheel of the golf cart.
Drove through several patrol cars?
Yes.
What do you mean drove through them?
I would imagine, like...
So, they're forming a barricade, and she, like...
is navigating through with her golf cart.
Oh, my God.
Get out of the way!
She's bumping into them, and, like, yeah.
I gotta confront them!
Let's do this! Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, my God, he just ran in.
What was... I guess you'll get to it, but what was her goal? What was her ultimate goal here in driving into the standoff?
I don't think there was an actual goal here.
Okay.
She's, according to police, she was completely nude and she smelled of alcohol when she crashed into the house.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Completely
Florida.
Nude, reeking of alcohol. Okay.
Yep. Sounds good.
Oh, my God. The series of events here. She just gets completely wasted in the middle of the day, gets naked.
No, this is at night.
Oh, this is at night?
This is at night.
Oh, what time was this?
Around midnight, according to the police report.
Oh, around midnight?
Yeah.
And what day of the week?
It's
a weekday.
No, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday?
No, that
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, just the crazy part is this lady just coming out of nowhere.
Okay.
Like, as a Florida cop, how the hell are you supposed to, like, expect this in your training?
There is no amount of training that can prepare them for this.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They get to the chapter and they're like, all right, lady in golf cart interrupts your standoff. Like,
yeah.
There's no, that's not a section in the training manual.
Yeah, what do you do when naked lady barges through in a golf cart?
Right. Do you stop the standoff to, like, chase
hey,
her?
Hey, I know we're in the middle of this, but can we please stop? We
yeah,
gotta
right.
arrest
you're
this
like,
shit.
I'm sorry. We're gonna get back to you. Don't shoot no one.
Right, right.
We gotta deal with this.
We need a 5-minute breather. Can we?
The guy in the river is like, you got it. You know, you're dealing with something.
This is Florida.
I imagine it's very cordial.
Yeah. This teenager on top of the roof.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's very understanding. Five-minute break, everyone.
Five-minute break.
Five-minute break,
time out, time out.
Time out.
Everybody chill. Everybody chill.
Time out. So she crashes the golf cart into the house.
Into the house of the standoff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the teen's like, well, she just stole all my thunder.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, my God. He just ran in.
So.
See, now the teen's like, now I feel ridiculous shooting somebody.
Yeah, you know what? I've had enough. You know, you cops have plenty of work. You know, how about?
I think she actually ended up saving the day.
So she refused to exit the golf cart. So cops had to physically assist her out of the golf cart. She was then arrested around midnight. Cops noted she smelled of alcohol and was completely nude. She was charged with obstruction.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
that makes
fair
sense.
Enough. Yeah. She did obstruct.
Yep, definitely.
Directly obstruct.
Yeah. She crashed into the house of the active standoff.
Yeah. I just like what do you, I can't imagine like the cops that are there, like
they're just standing there, like really?
They're focused on this standoff, and then just out of nowhere, out of their peripheral vision, just this golf cart comes out of nowhere. And then she's drunk.
But actually, it didn't come out of nowhere because you said that she like weaved in and out of these cop cars. So this is like slowly, like they're
golf carts can move fast.
I know. I drove one.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I don't know. I like.
And
to,
she's drunk, so she's probably putting the pedal to the metal.
And she's just swerving all over the place.
Just
yeah.
Eating. Wee.
Oh my god.
And she's naked. Like what?
And she thought this was a good idea.
Yeah. Cops. By the way, just boy, these cops are smart. They are telling people, please do not do any stunts like this, as this will put multiple deputies at risk for potentially getting shot at next time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, boy. This is Florida.
You didn't think that would need to be said, but
no,
there you go.
This is Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You have to be very specific and explicit in Florida.
Yeah, apparently. There's no rule saying that I can't be naked and driving a golf cart through an active standoff with a shooter.
Their state laws are going to be wild by the end of this decade.
There's no rule saying that specifically.
They're the reason dumb laws exist.
Yep. Luckily, after this incident, the situation was diffused with the teenager. So maybe you're right. Maybe that was like...
She saved the day.
Maybe that was like, you know what?
Look.
I don't want to end up like her.
Right. Look, this teen, he's like, he's in a very tense situation. It's very dramatic. He's, you know, he's having the standoff. Here comes little putt-putt, the golf cart crashing into the
scene. Naked putt-putt.
Naked putt-putt. It just sucks all the drama out of it.
Yeah.
Steals his thunder. Now, you know, the cops aren't focused on him. They're like tackling this naked lady. He's like, well, if I shoot somebody now, it's just going to be stupid.
Yeah, now it ruins the whole drama.
It ruins the moment. The moment's gone.
He
has to give up.
I'm tired. Just take me to jail.
Yeah. Just take me. I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Just,
you know
just,
what?
Just lock me up.
This lady's got more energy than I do. Just take me home. I'm good.
That lady saved the day.
She's probably inadvertently doing something that stupid may have diffused the whole situation.
Yeah, because everybody in that situation, you know, they're watching this. They're watching this play out, and they're just like, "Why? How?" they have no way to reasonably react to this. You know, so everybody's just dumbfounded. Their brain's like hard reboot, like a computer.
Yeah,
you know, they're watching this happen, just like the spinning hourglass shows up, and they lose track of all the tension that was there.
Let's do this, Leroy Jenkins.
Oh my god, he just ran in.
Yeah.
She saved the day.
She inadvertently.
Yeah.
There you go.
God bless her. She's a true Florida hero.
Yes. Do you think she's worthy of joining the Florida Avengers? I love that this is now like a recurring bit now on the show.
You know, we have to be selective, though, because we can't just add everybody to the Florida Avengers.
But you just said she was a hero.
I did just say that she was a true...
You literally just said she was a hero.
I did. Does she get on the Florida Avengers?
Maybe she gets to be like the one of the lesser known ones.
Like she's like a secondary character.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like the getaway driver.
Yeah.
She's a really bad getaway driver.
Yeah, wait. I shouldn't trust her as the driver.
I don't know. Maybe she should get an honorary role with the Florida Avengers. I'll put her on the list.
Yeah. I don't admit one of those characters.
Yeah.
I can't think of, I don't know. Maybe like a Captain Marvel.
She's Captain Marvel.
I don't know. I
Captain Florida.
Just driving
Captain golf cart.
Driving through her flying golf cart through space naked.
Captain golf cart.
Captain golf cart. Yeah.
Captain golf cart. She's our hero.
Naked and in space.
This is now an interdimensional golf cart.
Yeah.
In her mind, it's interdimensional.
Yeah, in her mind, it's interdimensional. And she doesn't have any boundaries to other vehicles because she thinks she can drive right by them.
Oh, my God. All right, she's...
Her special golf cart breaks the
speed
time
of...
and physical barriers.
Okay.
She's just willing to go. Nothing can stop her golf cart.
Nothing can stop it.
Yeah, except a house. Just one house. That's the only thing I can
I'm
stop.
Invincible. She drives at 5 miles an hour into a house. I've been stopped.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
I've been thwarted. At least I'm naked.
At least I'm naked. I like it. She's now a Florida Avenger.
There you go. I think she's worthy. She just said she was a hero, so I did. I think it counts.
I did.
But there you go. True story in Florida. I think that might be the way now to defuse future standoffs.
Just drive a golf cart in.
Just have something wacky else, something else that's really wacky happen to the side.
Think about it. Think about it reasonably. If you were like in a fight with someone or arguing with someone, and like some dingbat, you know, comes out of nowhere and shocks you both with just the sheer randomness and awkwardness of it, the fight's over.
There you go.
You can't go back to fighting after something like that happens.
Right. Yeah, it ruins the whole drama.
You can't go back to committing your crime or your standoff or your fight if something wild like that happens. Like, your brain just, like, hard reboots. It resets. So you're like, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
We've learned the lesson now. Florida has taught us the lesson. This is how you defuse situations.
There you go. We don't need hostage negotiators anymore. No. We just need Captain Golf Cart. Think about it. Some guy's got hostages. And he's like, what in the actual hell is happening? He's not paying attention. Next thing you know, SWAT comes in, takes him down.
Captain Golf Cart. There you go. I think we got a superhero.
God bless you, Captain Golf Cart.
There you go. Perfect addition to the Florida Avengers. But with that, we got to start wrapping up this episode. There you go. Florida, you've outdone yourself again.
You never cease to amaze us, Florida.
No, we've been doing this show for damn near 9 years, and just there's always
something new. This has never happened before.
Always something new. But for right now, this will have to be the last bit that we end on. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our crazy little show. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole shebang, and see what we're up to.
That's right. In addition to the whole shebang, you can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you get the video versions of the podcast every week. But you can still get the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon devices. We're literally everywhere. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Amazon devices and the Google devices. Yeah, I mean, we're literally on all those platforms.
We're everywhere.
If you've got one of those home smart devices, you can actually listen to us right through there.
Yeah.
I also noticed that I love being able to pull us up on Spotify, and it comes up on Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't find us, it's your own fault.
Yes, but it's also, I think, a little, you know, cool that you get to see our little show on all these premier services.
Absolutely. You get to see our ugly mugs, too, if you get the video version.
That's right. So you can do that on Facebook Live and on YouTube. So many different ways that you can handle, you can consume our content.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with us and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitter and let us know what's happening. And yeah, if you got a story you want us to talk about, send it our way. And we'll take all submissions under consideration. And if we do, we'll give you we'll give you a Crispy Noodle shout out. So send content our way if you want us to talk about it. But for right now, we're going to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. Anything else, Mike?
God bless Captain Golf Cart.
That's right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine people.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.